Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With David Slack this morning. Kia ora, David. How are you?
Well, hello, Rachel. I'm very well. I'm just agog.
Is this at the what's happening in the National Party at the moment?
An absolute meltdown of epic proportions.
So fill us in for the folks who've been asleep, I guess a lot of people will have been because this kind of rolled through at about 9 p.m. last night. But what's happened over the last sort of 12 hours?
Well, Judith Collins issued a press release last night saying that she'd stripped Simon Bridges of his portfolios because of news that had only come to her attention 5 years after the fact, that an MP, who we subsequently learn is Jackie Deans, had complained about his behaviour, and this is to do with something he said in her presence and some others that was extremely crude. That's all we know about it this far. And Bill English was the leader at the time, and he handled it. It was understood at the time, and Simon Bridges apologised to Jackie Deans, or so we're told. But all of this was news to Judith Collins, she said, last night, and so she had stripped him of his portfolio, and of course the political punditry, as one, responded to it, "You've got to be joking, this is surely a machination to undermine Bridges because he is doing the numbers on your leadership."
So the quote from Simon Bridges is that he has said, and this is his quote, "I think it shows that she'll go to any length to hold on to her leadership of the National Party." That's part of a longer quote that he's put out there. Is this, I mean, obviously whenever there's an allegation of some sort of misconduct, it has to be taken seriously. But there is quite a lot of speculation, as you've just mentioned, David, already within political punditry and within political journalism as well online, about if this is in fact some sort of move in that space. What are your takes on it from this kind of initial reaction?
Well, it has all the vibes of the Hitler bunker and the notorious downfall piece that's forever parody. You know, at a certain point you're just lashing out with improbable strategies of defence, and that really feels like that's what she's down to. Just before we were talking, Simon O'Connor, the National MP, was on the radio saying that he's going to resign all of his portfolios. He can't work under Judith Collins. Mark Mitchell is on record overnight expressing similar great misgiving about her work. You know, this is disarray, and you've got to figure that her strategy here has simply been do some kind of disruption because she can see momentum in him and Simon Bridges coming for her, and so she is somewhat, I don't know, we've seen it's in her nature to be somewhat destructive and impetuous, and this seems to be what we're seeing here, but what we're going to see for sure is there's a caucus at 9 o'clock, and Simon Bridges was saying at that stand-up outside Parliament that he wasn't going to say more until he'd been able to speak with the caucus, and there's a kind of a general observation running now that it would be astonishing if Judith Collins could survive this. What it does tell you beyond doubt is that it's a party in disarray. I'm sorry, a caucus in disarray.
Now
you might say it of the party too.
That is something that has been talked about a lot, basically since the last election. What do you think is it going to take for the National Party to, I guess, rehabilitate itself and rehabilitate its image as well?
The bizarre thing, Rachel, is after you've watched several decades of this, it's surprising just how much these things can restore themselves over time. What it really only requires is someone in some way fresh, with a fresh message that resonates, combined with disaffection for the incumbent government. You know, over time, all governments melt and decay, and people start looking for an alternative. It started to look as though that could never happen for the Labor government. The Labor Party in the revolving doors of the last years of 9 years or so of the Key and English regimes, and yet we saw, you know, the right moment, Jacinda Ardern with the right message was enough to resonate, and all of it pivots. So, you know, it's or to put it another way, the events, dear boy, to quote a Tory grandee in the UK from years ago, you know, things just come along and things change. And the worst you can do for your party, and it's happened with Rob Muldoon, it's happened with Helen Clark, maybe arguably it happened a bit with Key too, that there isn't enough work on succession. And so once somebody strong goes, you're left with this kind of desiccated husk of a party, and there's no kind of compelling proposition for people to embrace it. I'm kind of considering a few different possibilities here, because what this doesn't address is the ascendancy of David Seymour and the ACT Party, and I sort of put it that way because really it is a one-man proposition. Mm. The people's familiarity with the rest of that caucus is small to nil, and you know, to there is a strength to that vote, but you couldn't say it was solid yet. But you know, in the much longer sweep of things, you do have parties actually fade from view altogether and new ones taking form. And so, you know, the National Party was a remaking of what had been on the right, because at a certain point, you know, the Great Depression and the new Labour government, everything that was political orthodoxy just gets swept so completely aside that those parties no longer have relevance. Now, we could be in the middle of that, because what the hell have we got? We've got climate crisis, we've got a pandemic that isn't actually going away.
There's not half a lot going on at the moment, is there?
Yeah, but, you know, at a certain point, it's positive, you know, it's a strong inducement for everybody to take stock and say, does the way things are make sense anymore? Will I embrace somebody who now comes along and presents things in a new frame? And we're ready for that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that then. COP26, we might get time to touch on in a second, but we have seen some big changes in the last week about the traffic light system. And also yesterday, the government also announcing that we're going to see the easing of border restrictions for the whole country. That's going to be in a staggered process kicking off from January of next year. And I think that's been a welcome relief to a lot of folks who've been stuck overseas. There's obviously also some anxiety about that as well, because that is another, you know, part of our sort of protection framework around keeping the public safe from COVID-19 that is being slowly reduced or changed, rather, I should say. What's your takes around some of the big changes we've seen moving definitively into the traffic light system and also this change to the border policies?
Yeah, well, there's no question that we're stepping out back into the storm, and immediately you do that, there's more than one way for it to be done, and so everybody can have an opinion on how it should be done, and so you'll have an awful lot of disagreement potentially over whether it's fast enough or too fast and fair enough or not fair, and so that's what we're getting, and there's really no way this can be done with entire agreement and unanimity, so you just, I've got to say, I'm kind of tuning out the noise a little, because you just know that some way forward back into more regular life is what we want and where we're headed. And the guiding principle clearly here, and Chris Hipkins was making it clear yesterday when they were saying, why not sooner, why not sooner, why not more, is you've got to proceed cautiously, and you know, this is a government that does everything cautiously, and so that's what we're getting, stage by stage by stage. And yet even so, some people are lamenting that it might be too fast.
No.
So there's your enduring problem. But, you know, we're getting there, Rachel, and I'm heartened by that. But, you know, I actually hang my, just kind of sweeping aside for a minute all of those considerations, the antiviral treatment by Pfizer that had great results that we've heard a little bit about, that actually stands to make bigger change than anything if it actually stands up. You know, if we can get to a point where this is reduced to something like proportions of flu, everything changes. And, you know, I think over the next year, that's the thing I'm most fascinated to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we might actually have to come back to COP26 another time, but I did want to just briefly get your thoughts, because I was interested in what you say about caution there, because one of the big criticisms of what's come out of New Zealand's sort of engagement with COP26 this year has been that we are still approaching farming emissions very cautiously or very timidly, perhaps. Is that something that you would agree with, and what do you think needs to be done to really maybe rapidly change that?
Oh, wholeheartedly, and I've seen this happen time and again with the agricultural sector, that they've always said, no, we can't, we're doing all we can, and then eventually, like we had in 1984, you get cataclysmic change. Farming needs to be careful that it doesn't get left behind here. The methane profile here is all wrong, and the growth trajectory is all wrong, and things will change, and you know, it would make much more sense for them to be getting as enthusiastically on board as possible. The other big thing I would just say very briefly is mode change to bikes and public transport and getting out of goddamn cars, whatever kind they are, is the single biggest thing we can do to contribute to the meaningful change that we need, and that's what we need to be doing, instead of detracting from people who advocate for using, for example, a lane on a bridge, which is the means to get us there.
Mm-hmm.
We really do have an inversion of things where people in cars are portrayed as victims, and people on bikes are portrayed as people being indulgent.
Well, David, it's always an absolute pleasure to get your thoughts on the show. I hope you have a lovely rest of your week. Have you got a haircut booked in?
I certainly do. Looking forward to it. Mega though it may be, it is causing me difficulty.
Excellent. Oh, well, it's great to hear from you, David. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Ka kite. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with David.